The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vora. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vora.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. State governments need to be dismantled just as badly as the federal government does. Just like the federal government, state governments are addicted to meddling in our affairs and using our money to fund the process. They're addicted to wasting money on pointless boondoggles or handing our money to their political cronies. This isn't going to change just with minor reforms. This will change when state governments are downsized and dismantled. It will change when they are too small to be able to meddle in your life or your business. It will change when they are too small to be able to grant special favors to their political cronies. That's what voting libertarian means. It means voting to downsize government and promote freedom and quality of life. Today we're going to talk with two candidates who have really dedicated to their lives to fighting for individual liberty. Later in the show, we'll talk with Lily Williams, candidate for state representative in Colorado, who escaped the oppressive communist government in China and now fights the oppressive statist government in America. But first, we're talking to a libertarian legend, Julie Fox, the libertarian candidate for Illinois Comptroller. Julie Fox is a certified public accountant with experience in both the public and private sector. She is the co-founder and chair of the Fox Valley Libertarian Party, as well as the treasurer of the Libertarian Party of Illinois. She has served as treasurer for multiple libertarian campaigns and as the treasurer of the Coalition for Accountability in Public Education. She also served on the Libertarian National Committee from 2006 to 2010. Julie, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, Arvind. One correction there. I'm a past treasurer of the Libertarian Party of Illinois, currently.
Correction accepted. And that's really the great thing about having someone like you, running for the position that you're running, is you are, dead on fact checking, unbiased, very principled, sort of a libertarian living legend in a lot of ways. Tell us about the position of comptroller and what is it that a comptroller does, and why are you the person who should be doing that in Illinois?
Well, the comptroller is responsible for the financial reporting. They work with the treasurer, and they will disperse funds to the treasurer's office to pay our vendors.
Okay.
The comptroller mainly signs checks to employees.
Mm-hmm.
So the office really mirrors what I've been doing as a controller in the private sector for the last 16 years, because here it's the same thing: financial reporting, working with the numbers, those are the things that I do in my role.
Okay, and now the question, of course, that comes to mind is, why would that be something that's good to have a libertarian do? I mean, why is it good to have a libertarian be a comptroller? Or more specifically, would it be good for people in Illinois if you were their comptroller?
Well, I bring two things there: it being a libertarian and also being experienced. And one of the things that I've had people say to me before, because this is actually the third time I've run for this office, is that who better than a libertarian to watch over the books of the Republicans and Democrats? And, in the private sector, when you have an audit, it's essential that auditor be independent. Mm-hmm. And while the comptroller doesn't have to be independent, the more independence you can have in those types of roles, the better. So I look at myself as independent, as a libertarian. I'm not part of the problem. I'm part of the solution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, as a libertarian and as someone with a lot of experience, that essentially allows you to serve as kind of a watchdog, as an advocate for the taxpayers in Illinois. I mean, is that a correct analysis there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who else other than a libertarian can you trust to use your taxpayer funds wisely? One of my main campaign slogans is we expect our attorney general to be a lawyer. We should demand our comptroller be an accountant. So when you combine the two, being a CPA, being a controller in the private sector, and then also being a libertarian,
mm-hmm.
you know, there should be the utmost trust that I'm going to be bringing to the taxpayers what they need. And a lot of that, you know, going back to my accounting experience, is to push. I can read through the numbers
mm-hmm.
and get through the games that we play with the numbers, because we change definitions of revenue and expense to make the bottom mm-hmm. line look the way we want the bottom line to.
Mm-hmm.
We use accounting methods that aren't used in the private sector. And the reason they're not used in the private sector in most businesses is because they're really not honest accounting methods. They don't present an honest picture. So in Illinois, in actuality, as bad as the numbers are, and they're awful,
mm-hmm.
they're actually even worse. I mean,
according to
Sheila Weinberg, who is the head of a nonprofit called Truth in Accounting, the numbers mm-hmm. are actually worse than they are. So I want the taxpayers to know what's really going on with your taxpayer funds. What is the real picture? So with my accounting experience, I can read through the games we're playing. And as a libertarian, I'm not beholden to these major parties. There's no reason to believe that they're going to be tying me to anything. I'm completely independent, and mm-hmm. I believe in transparency, and all those things are going to come out with me as comptroller.
I think that last point you made is a really interesting point. I mean, the idea that, you know, if you do have somebody who's a Republican or a Democrat, you know, part of that party machine serving that purpose, that person has a pretty big incentive to kind of play along, because they might be viewing that position as a stepping stone just to kind of move along that party machine. And you, because you're not part of their party machine, are really the only even theoretically possible candidate that could have that kind of impartiality and would actually not have that, you know, perverse set of incentives that we're currently dealing with. The other candidates, are both the other candidates, I mean, are they people that have a similar experience level to you or what?
Well, no, neither one of them are accountants. I mean, I'm not only the only CPA running, I'm the only accountant running for the top accounting position. Neither one of them are accountants, but they both are career politicians. Our current comptroller, Judy Bartopinka, has been in politics for at least 30 years.
Okay, let me back up there for 1 second. Just, I want to make sure that I have that correct. You're saying that the other people who are running for the position of comptroller, which is, you know, equivalent to, you know, controller in the private sector, they're not CPAs at all, and they're not, you know, some other type of accountant either.
No, they have no accounting or finance degrees whatsoever.
Fat. Now that, you know, every so often, you know, hosting this show, I get just like stunned, and this is one of those moments. It seems to me just almost unbelievable that I don't even know what to say about something like that. There's that. So you are the only accountant who is running for the position of the top accountant in Illinois.
That is unbelievable, but correct.
Wow. Okay. I mean, it's like an awesome added benefit, of course, that you're libertarian, and it's a great added benefit that you're going to be there as a watchdog for the average Illinois taxpayer. But the fact that you're literally the only accountant is That seems to me it's like the only person that's even remotely qualified, and they're not bringing some other qualification. They haven't been the CEO of Merrill Lynch or something like that before.
No, they haven't been. They have not been active in corporations and running any business or anything. Most of their lives have been involved with politics.
Okay, so we're essentially it just seems like the Democrats and Republicans are trying to pick people that will be most effective by their perverse set of incentives, i.e. career politician whose entire goal is to just go through the party machine pipeline, and instead of to actually provide the kind of services that a comptroller should be providing, kind of a watchdog service, defending the taxpayer, looking through the ridiculous number games that they're playing, they're hiring the people who are the least likely and most unable to do that. So it's that is unbelievable to me. Now, after the break, I want to start talking about one of the other big issues in Illinois, and that is ballot access, voting rights, the right to vote your conscience. Is that something you're cool talking about right after this break?
Absolutely. I would love talking about that issue.
Okay, so we'll be back in just a couple minutes. We are talking right now with Julie Fox, the Libertarian candidate for Illinois Comptroller. She is also the only accountant of any kind running for this position. She's also an extremely experienced accountant. She's a Libertarian. She's a watchdog. She's going to be there looking after your money. If you're in Illinois, she's going to be the only person who's looking after your money. She's the only person who's going to be looking through the number games and manipulations that the Democrats and Republicans are doing in order to basically allow themselves to continue to overspend and, hand money and favors to their political cronies. You can learn more about Julie Fox at juliefox2014.com. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We're talking with Julie Fox, the Libertarian candidate for Illinois Comptroller. There are a couple things that set her apart from her competition. One, she is the only accountant of any kind that's running for this position, and she's a very experienced accountant. She's the person who's going to look through the numbers and the lies and the manipulation and make sure that your tax money is being spent appropriately and make sure that the government is reporting exactly what they're doing. So if you live in Illinois and you want to make sure that your money is being spent fairly and correctly and not illegally, Julie Fox is really the only person you should at all consider voting for. Julie, I want to talk to you about ballot access. I want to talk about what's going on in Illinois in terms of how the Democrats and Republicans are trying to keep the Libertarian Party, not just to beat them in the election, but to actually prevent them from even being on the ballot.
Well, we go through this almost every 2 years where the Republicans will challenge us, and they haven't gotten us off the ballot since 1998, I'm happy to say. And I'm confident that we will survive this challenge now, but this is, to the best of my knowledge, this has been the hardest challenge as far as the number of ways they've come at us. So we've gone through the first phase of the challenge, and that's been the line-by-line, going through the line-by-line by each signature that was challenged to decide if it was good or bad.
Back up one step over there. I mean, before we even get to that challenge, in Illinois, in order to even be on the ballot, the Libertarian Party, I mean, the Democrats and Republicans essentially require the Libertarian Party, the only real threat to the status quo, the political status quo in that state, to collect, you know, a pretty substantial number of signatures.
Yes, we have to, we're the only state in the union that's required to run a slate of statewide candidates. The Republicans and Democrats don't have to do that. We have to do that. And for that slate, we need to get 25,000 valid signatures, where the Republicans and Democrats are required to get 5,000 signatures.
Okay, so you're required to get five times as many signatures as the entrenched political parties, plus, you know, do an additional requirement of running a slate of all the state level positions.
Correct. And what's unbelievable is that is actually the least of the inequities. When you get to Congress, you don't see third parties on the ballot for Congress unless they've been lucky enough to get ballot status in another race, because the signature requirements are anywhere from 10 to 20 times what they are for a Democrat or Republican, and you have approximately 90 days to get those signatures gathered.
So the only realistic way the amount of money to spend would be astronomical. So essentially, it's, you know, we can even look at this one step behind the Democrats and Republicans as, you know, the political or the organizations that fund them, you know, corporations and special interests that fund them, are really trying to make sure that if there's an organization that wants to take away their special privileges, that organization is going to have to get not just five times as many signatures, but 10 to 20 times as many signatures as the two parties that we know are going to keep giving them their special favors.
Yeah, it's really sad, and it's hurting voter choice, and it's sad that I'm glad we're talking about it today, because so few people know about it. They don't even know what the term ballot access means, and the more we can educate voters, the more they're going to be up in arms about this ridiculousness. Their choices are taken away. And in the case of Illinois, virtually in the last, in 2010 and in 2014, essentially every single third-party candidate and independent candidate who filed in June was challenged. And so the State Board of Elections their workers have to work overtime at the expense to taxpayers. Mm-hmm. In a state that's already financially in a terrible, you know, position.
At the hands of these two defended parties. I mean, it's not like it just happened. It's that we had, you know, two parties that were just spending and wasting and using the money for just the most ridiculous purposes possible. You know, it's not like Illinois is somehow just like, it's not like a natural disaster hit or something like that, a political disaster hit.
No, and a lot of it goes back to, you know, not fully reporting what our liabilities are and not funding our liabilities, and that just goes back to why you need a libertarian and why you need a CPA in the comptroller's office.
Exactly. And you know, just for anybody that just started listening, Julie Fox is the only CPA or the only accountant of any kind running for the position of comptroller, but as a libertarian and a very experienced CPA, she's the only person that's going to be looking through the lies and manipulation that they do with the numbers and making sure that information is reported accurately, that they're not able to just kind of, you know, fudge things and find different ways of accounting to make the bottom line look less bad than it actually is. Describe what is it that a challenge? I mean, we've talked about a challenge, but I don't think a lot of people even know what a challenge is. What does that mean? So you've collected these 25,000 signatures. How many signatures do you actually collect?
We collected just under 44,000.
Okay, so in order to get 25,000 signatures approved, you actually need to collect nearly, you know, we're close to twice as many. I mean, 44,000 is quite a bit more, because we know that they're going to find some reason to just reject 20,000 of those signatures.
They could, yeah. You want to get as close to, you know, two times the number. If you can get twice the number, you should be in a good position. And okay. What's sad is that the Green Party and the Constitution Party in Illinois will likely not be on the ballot, because each of them got somewhere in the range of 30 or 33,000 signatures, and of course they're being challenged too, and they will probably not be able to get through their own challenges. So, you know, in a way, for me, that's a good thing, because it brings it down to a three-person race, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's not fair to the voters. The whole system is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we talk a lot about voting rights, but I mean, it's not just like the right to vote that's important. It's the right to vote for, you know, what you want. It's the right to vote your conscience. I mean, if someone says, listen, you have a choice of coffee shops, you can go to this Starbucks, that Starbucks, or the third Starbucks, that's not a real choice. And essentially what we're having here is it's like, if you're someone like me, if I was living in Illinois and I don't want to vote for more government and I do want to vote for less government, more freedom, more innovation, better education, if I want to vote for those things, you know, it's going to be more difficult for me to do that, because you have these two organizations that are essentially trying to remove that choice, so I can't do it. So it is really hurting the voters' right to vote their conscience.
Absolutely, and it's ensuring that we're going to, you know, just continue on the same dismal path that we've been on in Illinois, because all you have are these incumbents and people who are part of the problem who are running and doing whatever they can mm-hmm. to keep anyone who wants to truly change things off the ballot. So the worse things get in Illinois, the harder they try to keep us off the ballot. And mm-hmm. that is so sad. Rather than try to fix the situation, we'll just make sure that we staunch the competition whatever way we possibly can.
Yeah, and the really kind of ridiculous thing is, it's not like we have some proprietary secrets. I mean, we've told the entire world exactly what we're going to do and why they should vote for us. You know, and this is why, you know, registration numbers for the Libertarian Party is going up nationwide while it's going down for Democrats and Republicans. Like, we've told everybody exactly what we're going to do, and if they wanted to, you know, really just make us a non-issue, they could just do those things tomorrow. And the people are like, well, they already did it. We don't need to vote Libertarian. But instead of doing that, they're continuing with their cronyism. They're continuing with their meddling. They're continuing with their boondoggles. They're continuing with all the things that are making the Libertarian Popular Party more popular in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if represent the voters, you know, that's what they should be legitimately doing, or go away, you know, and make room. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're not. It's a really sad. It's a sad state in Illinois, because, you know, you reach. You go through this Herculean effort just to get your signatures in your 90 days, and the first month of that, it starts the third week in March, so the first month, the weather in northern Wisconsin is not very conducive to getting to being outside and getting signatures. So it's a tremendous amount of effort just to try to get on the ballot, and then pretty much you know you're going to be challenged. And so we've gone through the line by line challenge on Monday and Tuesday in downtown Chicago. There'll be a hearing, because this is the other part of the challenge process, is then what they'll do, besides picking out specific signatures that they're saying are invalid, then they'll go after circulators. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, the person in our party who got the largest number of signatures, which is typical, they're claiming he doesn't live at his address. And they did this to me in 2010 as, I believe it was as a notary. And mm-hmm. I didn't, and it's just a complete waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have to bring in affidavits and copies of their driver's license and submit pictures showing us that we were actually out there circulating. And it's really ridiculous. And then on top of it, what we found out yesterday was that, I mean, now the Republicans have reached a new low, and they're actually going door to door. I believe they're paying people to do this, to go door to door and question voters. Did you sign a petition? And do you remember, was that circular? Were they male or female? And what did they look like? And when was it? And we tell the voters that these signatures are, you know, no one's going to be contacting them afterwards. These are sent down to the State Board of Elections simply to show that we have the support to be on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point is, it comes back to just how nervous the Republicans are, and they have a lot to be nervous about.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you don't need to be, you know, a super shrewd political analyst to be able to tell desperation at that level when you see it. And, you know, as information increases, you know, both through, you know, more transparency, you know, things like social media, we're finding more and more people are just becoming more aware of these issues. And when they see that more people are becoming aware of the facts, you know, they really do have absolutely every reason to be nervous.
Yes, and they have some explaining to do, too. I think at least in this case, you know. Why are you going door to door and questioning people? And you know that's ridiculous. That's no part of the formal challenge process.
Okay, so essentially they're forgetting the actual challenge. They're literally just taking it upon themselves to just go and try to see if they can annoy people enough, or just make themselves look even more pathetic, depending on what exactly it is they're trying to do right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that fits into the whole process, but you know they're going to try to use whatever tactic they can, honest or dishonest, in order to try to push us off. And you know the fact is I don't believe they have any chance of doing that myself. I'm absolutely confident that we will survive this challenge as we do about every 2 years or so when we go through this process. And hopefully, you know, there are some lawsuits in progress right now that we are hoping will make the process better for getting on the ballot in Illinois. But we will see.
Well, you know, that I'm just, you know, it's on one side just, you know, saddening to hear this, but on the other side it's inspiring to see that, you know, Libertarian Party of Illinois is sitting there and fighting strong and, you know, not giving up and is being successful against these, you know, relentless and completely immoral challenges. Julie, I just want to really thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you, Arvin. I really appreciate the opportunity.
We're talking with Julie Fox, Libertarian candidate for Illinois Comptroller. She is the only candidate for Comptroller that is a CPA, that is any kind of accountant at all, and the only Libertarian, which means the only person who's not part of the Republican and Democrat machine. She's the only person who's going to be able to look through the number manipulations and other games that they play with accounting to make sure that correct information is reported, that your tax dollars are being spent appropriately and effectively. You can learn more about Julie Fox at juliefox2014.com. Julie is one of hundreds of Libertarian candidates on the ballot this year who are working to improve your life, to improve individual freedom by being a watchdog, by cutting state government, by doing whatever they can to reduce government power to increase individual freedom. But they need your help. Go to lp.org/states and see how you can get involved in campaigns in your state. You can also go to lp.org/platform and learn more about the Libertarian platform and exactly what it is that we're offering. You're listening right now to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
Streaming live,
the leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkgaard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
In today's society, there is just too much competition. Women are taking on the same roles as men. They're working side by side, competing for the same positions. What is happening? This is transferring to how men and women feel about each other and relationships. We're delaying marriages or not even getting married at all. It's time to go back to basics. Listen for this groundbreaking show with host Naftali Schwartz. But it's not really that groundbreaking. It's just a new way of looking at things. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Emotional intelligence has been documented to be the most important skill for a leader to move up in an organization. Leader's Playbook will unpack what emotional intelligence is, why it is important, and how you can raise your emotional intelligence for yourself, your direct reports, and your teams. Join Dr. Relly Nadler every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, to the Leader's Playbook on the Voice America Business Channel. Your success could depend on it.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. You may have already seen a video of the speech that my next guest, Lily Williams, made just a few weeks ago in Colorado. In the speech, she talked about how she grew up facing these government-created difficulties in repressive communist China. Today, she's fighting for individual freedom in America as the Libertarian Party's candidate for state representative in Colorado's 44th district. She grew up in communist China facing the poor living conditions, food rationing, and social chaos caused by a totalitarian government. Nevertheless, she placed near the top of her national exams to become one of only 3 people in her province of 80 million people to be accepted into the Fudan University Law School in her year. Today, she is the president and founder of ACM International Corporation, a consulting and trading firm specializing in China-related business services. Lily, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me today.
You know, when I was watching your speech, one of the really exciting moments is when you were talking about, you know, gun rights. You were talking about the right to bear arms, and you were talking about specifically some of the restrictions that Colorado government either has put or is attempting to put on firearms, specifically limiting the size of the clip. Where do you stand? What is your view on that aspect of the right to bear arms?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned my background. You know, by growing up in China as citizens, we could not have any rights to vote, to own any guns. So we always feel powerless when you have a government to act like a tyranny or have criminals like coming to your neighborhood. So this is some issue I feel strongly and very passionate about. And I thought, we have Second Amendment rights, so I don't have to worry about it. I was not really even interested in, you know, guns. It's like a big boy's toy and for a long time because I know my right is there until all those gun control crazy laws start to be proposed, and that really gave me a signal to wake up. I cannot just rely on Constitution. Hey, my right's going to be there forever. And I came to this country for freedom, including owning gun freedom. So when they start to say, hey, we got to go through all those background checks, we got to go limit your magazines, I just become furious. I volunteered to testify against those gun control laws in the Colorado Senate last year, and I had to get some help to go inside the floor because people were waiting there for a whole day and could not even get in. And I was there to question my senators. I said, I'm from communist China. We could not own guns there. Why are you telling me in this country, in this Western state, I have to limit my shots when your government and the criminals have unlimited shots. And are you becoming communist? When I asked those questions, of course, they did not give me answer, but the people in the audience were really giving a standing ovation. To me, I said, that's obvious, not fair. And that's why I wrote an article after that. I said, Guns Against Tyranny, by using Tiananmen Square massacre as example. When you have no gun ownership rights, even though the government's going nuts, going crazy, there's nothing you can do. I use my story to wake up Americans and the people in this country. When you do not have strong Second Amendment rights, you cannot defend your other rights. That's why we had 3,000-4,000 students got murdered by our own government and soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And so my top priority when I go to Colorado House, if I'm elected, I will sponsor legislation to repeal all gun control laws. Our constitution in Colorado language on gun control, on gun rights is even stronger than our constitution. You know, state constitution said our gun ownership should not be questioned, not just should not be infringed. So that's the message I'm trying to send out to people. And I hope that people will wake up to see, you know, where I come from and connect with my story and really join our fight. And this is one top issue I feel very passionate about. I cannot compromise any of that.
And that's a really, really important, you know, idea over there. I mean, that the government essentially, when they restrict the magazine size of a private citizen, they're really creating two classes of people, or they're actually creating three classes of people. They're saying, you know, we have government protection, and of course, you know, police and soldiers can, you have, you know, a clip as large as they can possibly do, as they can possibly have. And criminals, well, they're criminals, we can't really control what they're going to do, but you know, peaceful citizens who are just trying to defend your basic and fundamental rights to exercise your right to self-defense, you can only exercise it a little bit, because we're going to say that this is how much you can exercise it. And the fact that we have someone like you saying in Colorado, no, that's not what it's going to be like. We're going to follow Colorado's constitution, we're going to follow the United States Constitution, and we're going to make sure that individuals have just the exact same amount of firepower as criminals or as the government. I mean, that to me is such a profound and such a powerful idea, and it's just so inspiring that we have someone like you running in Colorado that's actually pledging to sponsor that legislation.
That's exactly right, because I have seen what government could turn into when governors turn into tyranny and they have all those powerful weapons. And what if, you know, we become police state? I think this country has already reminded me the police state I grew up in China, where cops can be so corrupt and so brutal. And when I used to go to China for business, when cops come, people run. How can you rely on cops to protect you when they're corrupt? It's like, oh, mafia's coming. It's wrong. That's what people call the cops in China. And this country is getting that way. You have so many brutality cases, and you have corruption, and you have all the crises going on. I think some neighbor friends might be naive. They have good intentions. Oh, we're going to basically reduce crime. All those gun control laws can do nothing about reducing crime. They only actually put the law-abiding citizens at risk. Because I truly believe when you have a good citizen bear arms, when the criminals are doing bad things, that's our best defense. Sometimes you call 911. How, you know, life and death is a matter of 1 second, 1 minute. You cannot rely on other means to save yourself, to, you know, protect your family yourself. That's the only best thing we can do is carry a gun. I don't want my right to be infringed just because some nut jobs and criminals out there are coming after us. I have to say, government help me. Cops come help me by calling 911. And the criminals, they don't go through background checks anyway. If they want to do harm, they have no regard about the law. They even don't care to go to prison. And why would they care about the background check law? That just does not make sense to me. I try to tell people, wake up, don't be naive. It does not work.
Yeah, I mean, we can imagine just, you know, we think about some of these school shootings that were these tragically caused school shootings. I mean, those only happened because the shooters knew for sure – that nobody in that school was allowed to have a gun, not the teachers, not the security guards, not the administrator, not the principal, nobody. So they knew they had an open killing field.
That's exactly right. I keep telling people I do not like gun-free zones. I feel worried for my children's safety when the school is gun-free zone. Are you kidding me? You're advertising for criminals not just coming here to enjoy shooting spray because nobody citizens will have guns. What if the resource officer or one cop guy in school is not there? And or is somewhere else, you could just go to one classroom and shooting the kids. I do not even feel comfortable go to gun-free zone restaurants and some places advertising. That just, to me, that's not smart way to protect yourself. I want people just do not know anywhere we go who is carrying a gun and who might have a concealed carry and open carry. That's the best defense. And there are lots of cases life are saved because of nobody citizens have guns to against a criminal. I do not know why people don't get that. I actually do not want to go to Target shopping anymore if they say they're not going to encourage people to have weapons in their shops and Starbucks too. I like to go to one Colorado restaurant. They say that they encourage everybody go in there carry gun. I said, that's my kind of restaurant to go to. So that to me, that's just common sense. Gun-free zones do not work. They are just open advertisements. So come in. Nobody can defend themselves. Come in. Hey, enjoy your killing spree here. That's just not smart.
And I think that is, I think just so perfectly said over there. I mean, the idea that now we can make people safer, everybody safer, whether you carry a gun or don't carry a gun, by just getting rid of these gun-free zones, by getting rid of some of these, ridiculous restrictions, by just getting rid of those, we're actually making everybody safer.
Right.
It's interesting to talk about the cops, because when you say, cops could become tyrannical, but in so many areas they've already done that. I mean, you see what happens with these sort of SWAT team raids where they just bust into somebody's house in the middle of the night looking for drugs, which half the time there are no drugs to be found. Not that, I think it would matter even if there were. They're just breaking in and all these types of things are kind of what the Second Amendment is about. It's not really just about a hunting. It's about protecting yourself. And it's often about protecting yourself from the government. I mean, that's the key thing. It often is actually about that.
Government has the power to automatically grow. And automatically, if you don't pay attention as citizens, because that, for some reason that the government is tend to addict to power. And when they, so when you have a police state like this, where government getting more and more power and builds their power, and there's truly no separation anymore, it's really worrisome. I think dangerous trend that what the government did in China to citizens and what our government doing here to American citizens, they all have common symptoms and they have a common tactics. For example, turn people against each other. They want you to report to government what your neighbors are doing in California. That's just bizarre. I saw this video that California neighbors are reporting on each other to the government. Oh, and she overused water to mow her grass. That's what the communists did. They turn your neighbors and even families against each other. And they want you to report to government, so you become so reliant on government, and government have you wrap up on their finger and 100% control. Now we have no freedom left. We have no trust left. So I'm the one leaving testimony to tell people, don't be naive, don't trust big government, because that's their tactics, that's their strategies. They want you to be totally reliant on them, including when they put so many people on welfare, so you become powerless because your family are there no more. Your neighbors are not helping each other. You all become reliant on government. Then they can take everything away from you just one night. So
yeah, exactly.
Then my story is to people is like, okay, just watch out and listen to my story and do not really trust the big government.
Absolutely. And really, it's not even just distrusting it, but do what you're doing, which is working to reduce it, to dismantle it, to cut it, to repeal some of these ridiculous laws. We'll talk a little bit more right after the break. Right now, we're talking with Lily Williams. She is the candidate for state representative in Colorado's 44th district. You can learn more about her campaign at lilyforliberty.com. And if you haven't seen the video, the speech that she made a couple weeks ago in Colorado, I strongly recommend you take take a look at it. It's very, very powerful. Candidates like Lily Williams are working hard to cut state government and advance freedom, but they need your help. Go to lp.org/states to see how you can get involved in campaigns in your state. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Wealth Generators empowers your personal freedom with a simple, repeatable program for success. Our stock market experts bring extensive experience and deliver it directly to our members so they can invest for themselves. Now, for a limited time, the Financial You listeners can try the Wealth Generators program risk-free for 30 days for only $1. That's right, just $1. You will have access to our three weekly trade strategies for a full 30 days. After the trial ends, our products are covered by our triple your money back guarantee. If you trade our strategies for 6 months and lose money, we will pay you three times your subscription fee back. That's how confident we are in the Wealth Generators program. In addition, you can earn by referring others to the program. If you tell a friend and they join, you get paid. Not once, but each and every month they remain active. Trade like the experts, build residual income, and take the first step in generating wealth. Enroll now at WGOffer.com.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We're talking with Lily Williams, candidate for state representative in Colorado in the 44th District. You can learn more about her campaign at lilyforliberty.com. Now, here's the thing. Governments like to meddle. They like to get in the way of our rights. They like to, you know, for guns, add a bunch of laws and background checks and all these restrictions. But they're not going to do that for free. I mean, it actually costs money to interfere with our lives. It costs money to be a problem. They're actually using our money to do it. So let's talk a little bit about the flip side of the equation, not just the individual and social rights, but the financial part of it, the taxes. Lily, where do you stand? What are your views on taxes in Colorado? What needs to be done? What are you going to do about it?
Well, if you see my information on my website, I'm really for small, limited government. And I believe that the government should not tax more than 10% of a person's annual labor. But right now, we are spending almost half a year to pay for all kinds of taxes. And we are overtaxed in this country, but then the government is still broke. The country is still broke. It's just astonishing to me. They are trying to solve all kinds of problems by taxing us, and then no problem is solved. We have $17 trillion in debt. And so in Colorado, what I can do, I have signed a pledge, Colorado Taxpayers Union pledge. That means we have a Taxpayers Bill of Rights called a TABOR in this state. And TABOR limits the government growth to adjust the inflation rate and the population growth. So they cannot just automatically increase budget and grow every year. They have to go be go with the inflation rate and population growth rate. Mm-hmm. But I loved Colorado. We used to get a tax refund back every year because they are they have to balance budget, and if they don't spend your money, then they return back to you. But now, recent years, they come out to say, hey, we're going to hold you refund now because we have good things to do with your money. See, that's what the government does. It's they always tell you, hey, we take your money by force, and we do something good for you without our consent. It's a pure force. And I have disagreement with that, and I want my money back. When I go there, I want to get our tax refund back. And also, I would like to cut the government. Like Milton Friedman said, that whenever you cut taxes, no matter what reason, it's always a good reason. So I think that if we can get the legislation together, and we can cut the government spending maybe 10% each year. When you go through budget process, you just trying to tell the state agencies, we would like to you propose a budget every year, it's 10% less than last year you spent. And that way that you can reduce the state income tax according to each year's cut, then eventually just totally get rid of it. I think people, if we have a very good business environment and very light regulation and low state income tax, Colorado will just be so popular for all the job creators come to this state. And the people have more money in their own pockets, pay the way they see fit, instead of send to government to spend the way they want to spend. And I think that this is my second top issue. I mean, first issue is gone. The second issue is to defend our Tabor and get our refunds back and then cut government.
Now, right now, Colorado has actually been going in the reverse direction, that they are actually kind of holding the refunds hostage. Is that correct?
Right. And government always has skills for your money. So they're trying to use your money to solve their problems. But I don't think government is a solution to lots of problems we have today. And another issue I want to tell you is that our state debt is really high. It's $86 billion. And it's number 17th in the country.
Wow.
And I'm trying to do some research, like how do we get into all that high debt? So per capita debt in this state, it's 19th in the whole country. It's over almost $17,000 per person in Colorado. Then you plus $54,000 from national debt on our head. So each baby in Colorado has lots of debt on their head. It's just amazing to me. How did we get into this? And Colorado, of course, not like a federal. Federal government can print money, and the state cannot, so they just have debt. But they say, though, someday you have to pay this off, and how many years will it take us to pay this off? That's why I'm proposing that we got to control our spending, and any surplus we have, maybe we could use some to pay down the debt. And I'm just surprised how much that is in our state. This is a Western state, and I always wanted to say conservative, economically conservative government. But, of course, everybody today seems like, it's always so easy, so enjoyable to spend other people's money,
No, I mean, I think that's exactly the problem, that it's beneficial to them and to their political cronies to spend our money on their silly projects or on their crony capitalism or on what, or just meddling and interfering with people's lives. Now, this, I just want to really clarify something for the listeners. This is legislation that you're actually willing to sponsor to reduce the spending, to reduce the taxes, to eventually abolish the income tax or all the other taxes in Colorado.
Right, yes. I will not hesitate. I will sponsor legislation to reduce government, reduce income tax, and just keep cutting. And that's where we are different from other two major parties. And even though when Republicans say, we are for small, limited government, but look what they have done in the past at the national level, it means it's amazing that they grow government just like the Democrats did. And they grow debt. They get into deficit in our country. So libertarians are truly for small, limited government. And that means, so when you say small, that means you don't give government the power by giving them more taxes, by giving them more money. Then they use this money to support their friends, to make a backdoor deal, to be corrupt, and to spend the way they see fit. I think by cutting off their money supply and lower taxes, then you actually really limit this big government monster's growth. And put the money into people's pocket, and then you will have economical prosperity. And when you have so much debt, you print money, or, you know, like in Colorado, we have job figure recently. It's all great job growth. We have low unemployment rate. But when you look at those jobs, 3,000 are government jobs, and 100 or 300 or something are private jobs. Are you kidding me? How many private jobs will take you to pay taxes in order to support a government job? Pretty soon, lots of people sit on the wagon, and you're the only one pulling the wagon. Wagon's not going anywhere. So I think we need to focus on private jobs. It's kind of sad today now. When government pays so well, when government have good benefits, young people graduate from college and I want to work for government. Instead of say, well, I'm going to work for private company, I'm going to start my own company.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a reverse trend in the past. I come to this country for total economical freedom and the personal freedom. And you will be entrepreneur, you can become millionaire, and even with my humble poverty background. But now it looks like the trend is just a totally wrong direction. It's
absolutely
dangerous.
Absolutely. As we've been talking with Lily Williams, you can learn more about her at lilyforliberty.com. Lily, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. We'll be in touch.
The Libertarian Party and its candidates are working hard to dismantle governments, but they need your help. Go to lp.org/states and see how you can get involved. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Arvind Vora, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvind Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.